Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to this episode of the award-winning Best of the Left podcast. This is a sample of our recent bonus episode, usually only available to members. These episodes are comprised of our crew of researchers, Amanda and myself, all getting together for a roundtable discussion on topics that we find interesting. So here's a few minutes for free so you can know what all the fuss is about. All right, so today we're planning on having a lot of fun. We're going to talk about humor. And we're starting with the article, The Comedic Trick Trump Uses to Normalize His Behavior. His supporters love it. Critics call it a sign of his autocratic tendencies.
You can just hear the audience right now going, boo. That's not the kind of humor I want to talk about.
And so the point is to try to, I mean, people have been trying to understand Trump supporters since, you know, 2015, right? And it has limited usefulness, but I still argue it's useful. Like, you got to understand what's going on, what you're up against, et cetera. And humor is a huge part of it. The author of this piece talks about how, you know, he's been to lots of Trump rallies, and the thing that sort of like rings in their ears the longest is the laughter. Which, if you're not in on his jokes, or you think he's a maniac rather than in any way funny, it's hard to imagine laughing at anything he says, unless you're laughing at him for being absurd. But the people who go to his rallies, like, just have a grand old time, just love it and laugh uproariously throughout. And understanding why is like really important to understanding how autocracy can rise and people can laugh along the whole way. So just a little bit from the article, it says, his critics, along with experts in rhetoric and nationalist and populist movements and leaders, say it helps him turn his opponents into not just enemies, but jokes. They say it helps him recast his own liabilities as laughing matters and desensitizes his supporters to his most outrageous comments and proposals. They say the mirth masks the menace. And I mean, we can dive a bit into the style in a minute, but that is so at the crux of what he's all about, particularly now when he's being prosecuted from every direction. Like, his number one priority is to completely minimize his opponents, whether it be political or legal. You know, the whole legal system is his opponent now, and minimizing everything about everyone involved in those systems has to be priority number one, right?
Yeah. The in-group and out-group that he's creating is essential to how he moves forward. And so, I mean, it's social dynamics 101, sort of, and so it is simplistic in that way, but what he is doing is creating a set of beliefs almost every time he gets up to speak, because you kind of don't know what Trumpers believe until Trump gets up and tells them what to believe. And he goes with the wind, sort of, but he is directing the wind as well. So the latest stuff he was saying about TikTok. Like, we didn't really know how Trump felt about TikTok until he got up and said it. And now everybody who supports Trump is, you know, pro TikTok and doesn't want it to be shut down. You know, like there's, he sets the tone. And so creating that group and keeping you in the group is also a way of keeping you in line, because if you start to break away from anything that Trump says he believes, then you are no longer part of the group. If you stop laughing at some of the things that he says, then you're no longer part of the group, and therefore you've lost something. And keeping that group strong and something that people want to be a part of and want to identify with is essential, and the comedy helps smooth that road of access.
One of the biggest, like, when the lead up to 2016, like a divide in left media started to appear in the form of deciding whether or not he was funny. It's really easy to laugh at Donald Trump because of his appearance and the way he sounds. But, you know, that's part of his shtick. He does that on purpose. Well, I mean, he may not do any on purpose anymore. It may just be who he is. But like the so-called dirtbag left has always said, he's funny. He's objectively funny. And then people in the more like liberal elite kind of class or whatever just thought he was easy to be laughed at, but he wasn't necessarily telling jokes that were funny. But I think we know now, like, he's definitely funny, just not funny to us. And that's that's an even bigger part of his appeal. The things he says that they think are funny are not funny to us. And that's a great dividing line, like you said, the in-group, out-group. Like, even his comedy is just separating us even further, because it's very difficult for us to hear things he says and think, man, that was just hilarious. No, he's being super mean. Like, that's part of his appeal. And there is a big lane in America for mean comedy.
I hadn't even thought of it from that angle before, because I'm super aware that the right wing has no policy of any kind, that, you know, they have no center that sort of guides anything that they do or say, except for being against the left. And so to be able to craft a form of comedy that runs along that dividing line and makes them laugh and makes us not laugh is like the perfect form of comedy for them, that they can laugh along knowing the left is going to hate this. Oh man, the left would hate that joke, and that makes it all the sweeter. Like, that's probably like 60% of it right there.
I mean, to summarize this, like, go Brandon, right? If you tell that to any of us, we're like, that is so fucking stupid. It's stupid. But like, being stupid kind of eggs, I think, that right wing, like, oh, we know it's stupid, but that's why it's so good. It's so funny because you hate it, even though it's stupid, right?
We're all in on it.
Yeah. Reading all the humor stuff, like, immediately the Go Brandon just popped into this section very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So personal anecdote, last weekend, I went to a Bill Burr comedy show at Missouri State. It's a pretty big venue, and it was definitely the largest crowd of people that probably voted for Trump I've been in, I don't know, years. And I could tell that part of the crowd was laughing at some of his jokes for a wildly different reason than I thought they might be funny, but maybe not completely funny. Like, one of them was like, he started off with a, you know, everybody's can be a little racist, and a bunch of people went, woo! And I thought, why the fuck am I here? Like, this is not for me. But like, that's Trump humor. But, you know, Bill Burr is trying to take those people on a journey to realize that what they just did was wrong, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't effective, because that's not what they got out of it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that actually flows nicely into this next set of quotes. Is like just a bunch of different little lines from this article. The first is, a dollop of humor makes the anti-establishment rage go down.
Mm-hmm.
The next is, horseplay is necessary, believed Joseph Goebbels, one of Adolf Hitler's closest, most loyal advisors and the Nazis' top propagandist. And then also, mentioned that Mussolini had the same twisted sense of humor as Trump, and stenograms of Communist Party and Politburo meetings in the era of Joseph Stalin in the Soviet Union show no shortage of notations of laughter, from jokes made at the expense of somebody about to be on the outs to a sort of forced or sycophantic fun. Like, being able to laugh at the things you know are terrible about either yourself or the people you support super takes the edge off, right? People who've been living in the US long enough, I mean, like, we could go all the way back to people's glee after Trump was elected, who all came out and said, I can finally say what I've always been wanting to say, but couldn't, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's been pent up. Like, people's racism and hatred has been pent up, and Trump gives them permission to say it, they think. And the tension being exposed in a line like that is, I know it's bad. I know that what I believe is bad. I know that people think I shouldn't feel this way, and I probably know I shouldn't feel this way, but I do. And I'm like desperate to come to society as my full self, right? and so, yeah, I think laughing at a line like, you know, everyone can be a little bit racist, or, you know, wooing along with it is like, yeah, you know, you're a little racist, at least. And if we can laugh about it, then you can feel a little less bad.
For days now, I've been trying to think of what the laughter, the sycophantic laughter, is reminding me of. And it's actually a scene from Austin Powers. You know, Dr. Evil is cracking jokes. They're not funny, but he starts to laugh. And then all of his little, you know, number two and the rest of the group start to laugh along with him, doing the maniacal laughter, and they all get into it. And the funny part of that movie and why that scene is funny is they let it go on and on and on, you know, until it's like incredibly awkward and laughter starts to die down.
Yeah.
and that's sort of what I started thinking about, especially when they're talking about Stalin, and how in the notes of the meeting, they're making notes about how everyone laughed at, you know, this person who was on their way out and was probably going to be disappeared. And they're all like, ha, 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 wasn't that great? Wasn't that funny? And part of that, I mean, it's creepy, right? It's creepy to anybody who's not a gross sycophant. It's a creepy, creepy scene. But I guess what I kept thinking about was like, yes, those are technically sycophants. Like, the people in the crowd at a Trump rally are technically sycophants, but they're not really, because they're not actually getting anything out of it. They're not actually getting, you know, a cabinet seat or power, or, you know, they're not in the administration. But what they get out of it has almost nothing to do with politics, because Trump doesn't really have a policy and neither do the Republicans. So what they're getting out of it is the community, which we always keep coming back to, and feeling like they're not alone in their horrifying beliefs, and justifying, even if anyone had a little bit of questioning of, gee, I don't know, maybe that's too far. Hey, I'm in a crowd of tons of people who are laughing and wooing and really enjoying that joke. So I must be the one who's off. Everyone else thinks it's fine. And that draws anybody who questions anything back in immediately into the group.
Yeah, I definitely think humor is doing some heavy lifting, because on one side, you have the reinforcement of loyalty. As I was reading this, I imagined the bully on the playground, that like everyone's picking on the same kid and being like just assholes, but you got to laugh, like, rather be that kid than you. And then the second thing it does is distance you from your empathy, because if you can make fun of something, you're making light of it. You're not, I guess, directly being horrific. You're just laughing, right? But I think because we're seeing just a trend of distancing from that empathy, that this comedy really, it makes light of that. Because, of course, if you get offended, what? It's just a joke. Like, we're all just joking here.
Right. The defense. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the best example of that pulled from this article is Ron DeSanctimonious, which is, I think, objectively the least funny nickname that Trump has for any of his political or legal opponents.
Yeah, Meatball was way better.
Well, clearly. And the journalist writing this article for Politico points out that when he's in a crowd at a Trump rally and he says Ron DeSanctimonious, you know, at least 10 times, people around him laugh every time, which is really hard to wrap your mind, because it's hard to imagine laughing once. But how does it land? How does that joke land every single time? And so the article attempts to explain, the purpose isn't to be witty. When you laugh at Ron DeSanctimonious, you're performing an act of acclamation. And part of the joke is the layers of jokes. And so this one is Ron DeSanctimonious, but the bigger joke is that Trump brands all of his enemies en route to conquering them. And so laughing at that joke every time is saying, I get the strategy and I remember, and we've been in this for a long time and we're in it together. That's it for today's free sample. There's lots more of that particular episode, as well as there being dozens of past bonus episodes that you get access to in your feed the minute you sign up as a new member. Paying members are who make this entire show possible, and so these bonus episodes are a fun way to say thanks to them for their support. In addition to those full bonus episodes, members also get bonus clips in every single regular episode, as well as there being no ads in the regular show. If you would like to be our newest member, you can sign up at bestoftheleft.com/support. You can use our Patreon page, or you can do it from right inside the Apple Podcast app, and links to get there are right in our show notes. And if you can't afford membership, I offer free financial hardship memberships. Just drop me an email to j@bestoftheleft.com and we will get you set up, no questions asked. Or again, to sign up and support the show and our ability to give away free financial hardship memberships, visit us at bestoftheleft.com/support. Thanks for listening.